Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and one of the quotees in my colleague Jason Miller's story on federalnewsradio.com, headline, GSA proposes change to acquisition regulation vendors loathe. Let's start with the concept of the price reduction clause. Roger, why is it that vendors loathe the price reduction clause? Thanks for being on today.
Well, they loathe the price reduction clause for a number of reasons, Francis, and I hope you've shoveled out and everything today. So
thank
far,
you.
But they loathe it for a number of reasons. First and foremost, there's Civil False Claims Act liability associated with the compliance with the price reduction clause, because if you set a inaccurate invoice for payment that's inconsistent with the terms of that clause, you haven't offered a price reduction when you should have, you can be liable for under the Civil False Claims Act. That's a big deal. It's an artificial pricing mechanism, and it restricts companies' ability to compete in the private marketplace because it ties the contract price to a tracking customer out there in the commercial marketplace. And if a FSS contractor gives a lower price to that commercial customer, then they have to pass it on to the government. That goes into factoring whether I'm going to give a lower price or not. What risk do I expose myself to in having to offer lower prices to the federal government? So it's almost like a price fixing scheme, quite frankly. And then there's all the additional costs associated with monitoring compliance with the clause, so you don't get in trouble, that you don't violate the terms of the clause and that goes into literally the tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars a year for scheduled contractors.
The concept of a price-fixing scheme sounds a little inflammatory, Roger. You can understand, I guess, the point that the government was trying to get at, even if people disagree about the execution of it, right?
You ask a great question, Francis. We're talking about a program that has 18,000 contracts, tens of millions of items. It provides contractors with a guaranteed minimum over 5 years of $2,500. And then all you get after that is an opportunity to compete for orders. It is not a requirements contract where the government agrees to buy all its requirements from one contractor. It is not a sole source contract. Maybe those situations, it might be appropriate to have some sort of pricing mechanism to try to protect the government over the long term to ensure the price, because there's no competition there. But here you have a program that literally has 18,000 contracts, and last I heard, 48 million items up on GSA Advantage alone. It's a competitive marketplace, and pricing is driven by competition at the order level. This clause is not even, it's no longer even remotely relevant to the program. And it's a question, it's an economic and procurement policy question. Is it the position of the government that as a condition of having a GSA contract that's open, that's this open and this dynamic, that as a conditioning of having this contract, your ability to compete in the commercial marketplace is restricted?
The story on federalnewsradio.com, in which you're quoted and my colleague Jason Miller has written, says a proposed rule released Wednesday would modernize the way vendors list their prices on the scheduled contracts run by GSA, especially as it pertains to the price reduction clause. Jason writes, the rule would do several things, including requiring vendors to report transactional data back to GSA, including data elements such as unit measure, quantity of items sold, universal product code if applicable, prices paid per unit, and total price. As he talked about that on my program yesterday, and that's archived at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, I imagined a whole lot of heartburn coming out of industry about this. Was my imagination correct, Roger?
Your imagination is pretty on point, pretty accurate. I think there are so many different questions about the rule. You hit a big point. There's a huge cost element to industry in gathering all this information and reporting it. And I don't even know how GSA really come up with its numbers. In the rule, GSA states that it will take an initial startup time of 6 hours for companies to transition their systems to be able to report on a monthly basis every order And not just every order, the order number, the who placed the order, description of the deliverable. That could be the statement of work, for crying out loud. The manufacturer name of the product, if it's a product, the product part number, unit of measure, unit price, total price, UPC codes if they're available. That's the laundry list of information that GSA is asking for, and they say it's going to take 6 hours for a company to adjust its systems to be able to spit out one and be able to report that. But at the same time, when GSA talks about what it would cost it to actually make changes to be able to collect all the transactional data in FPDS, for example, they talk about it costing tens of millions of dollars in systems changes. And they also go on to say that thereafter, it's going to cost an average of 31 minutes per month to actually do this reporting. So and what they don't understand is, first of all, companies don't have all that data at one data point, quite frankly. They're going to have to adjust their systems. But companies tell me that on other strategic sourcing agreements where data is being requested, they really have to go to 16 different data points in different parts of their system to try to get it in one place and how much it costs them to do that. Then to say that it's going to take 31 minutes to collect all that information, and if you're a contractor, you're going to review all that to make sure it's accurate. That's going to take 31 minutes when it could be tens, hundreds of orders, thousands of orders, theoretically, on a monthly basis being reported. So I think they're way out of whack. When the government admits it would cost it tens of millions of dollars to adjust its systems, and it, at the same time saying it would take 6 hours for contractors to adjust their system, I think they really need to rethink that.
Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and you did tell Jason yesterday that you are at least happy that there's a conversation going on about this. And Jason reports there's going to be an industry day April 17th to solicit feedback. They're going to keep comments open till May 4th. So it's not like this is a final thing. There still will be time for this, for Ann Rung and her colleagues at OMB and the folks at GSA also, to hear what you have to say and what other people in industry have to say and to make appropriate modifications.
That is true, Francis. And the private sector does appreciate the opportunity to have a dialogue on this proposed rule. I'm looking forward to it, and I definitely will have many comments on it.
I can imagine, based on what we've said so far. Is there a solution, in your view, though, to the overall problem that would fit both the government's needs and the needs of the contractors and give everybody what they want? Is there a win-win here somewhere, Roger?
Well, I would go back to where we are in the system and, you know, in the commercial marketplace and the statutory and regulatory framework for the schedules program. Right now, Francis, I guess I'm old-fashioned. I believe in competition. And you go back, and now the statutory requirements and regulatory requirements for competition under the GSA schedule program at the order level for agency-specific requirements, that's in all markets, that is what drives pricing and drives value for the customer, a clear statement of work and competition for that statement of work. That's fundamental. That's the blocking and tackling of procurement. And if GSA would focus on making that competition more streamlined, more open to innovative companies, this, you know, there's a lot of talk in administration about innovation. This proposed rule, it's going to hurt small business disproportionately. You have to think about small businesses and the resources they have and the margins that they operate under. They've got to build a system, regardless of how much they, business they do under the schedules contract, they've got to make the investments to create a system to actually monitor and report this and comply with the requirements. You know, and also, Francis, this rule really doesn't change a whole heck of a lot, quite frankly, because the GSA talks about in here that you still have to submit commercial sales practices formats. That's information about your commercial sales practices. And you have an ongoing obligation to continue to update those things. So, if you're a commercial firm, you still have to have your systems in place that you do for price reduction clause purposes to monitor the sales practices, be able to report if you make changes and that sort of thing. So they haven't really, you know, the idea behind this originally, as I understood it, was we'll look at transactional data and reduce the burden under the old rules for the GSA schedules. Well, they really haven't reduced much burden, if at all.